This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Hillary's quagmire. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Thursday, May 12th, glad you could be with us. And here's what we have for you this hour.
Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton, who's close to the nomination, appears to be sputtering toward the finish line. Now she's being forced to run primary ads again.
Will he get an endorsement? Likely Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump will meet today with House Speaker Paul Ryan.
Authorities say the fire that caused a deadly fertilizer plant explosion in Central Texas 3 years ago was deliberately set.
And the new security technique companies are using to protect our personal information.
Criminals
selfies.
Are basically having a much easier time getting a hold of the information that would normally be used to verify your identity. And so what that's doing for some companies is it's making them have to find another way, a more creative way to confirm people's identities.
Janelle Marte at the Washington Post explains the new approach to guarding our identities with selfies. She's here in about 20 minutes. Presumptive Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump has told Fox News that he may release his tax returns after all. After claiming that he's audited every single year, Trump said that he would in fact release the returns, ideally sooner than Election Day on November 8th.
As soon as the audit's finished, I'd love to.
Length
it's just
what?
a relatively simple audit.
According to a February statement from the IRS, however, nothing prevents individuals from sharing their own tax information, not even an audit. The IRS also, by the way, denied that it used audits as a political weapon, as Mr. Trump has claimed. The New York real estate mogul says, in any event, there's not much to learn from the documents, and adds he's released other financial documents in compliance with Federal Elections Commission rules.
So the answer is I'll release, hopefully before the election. I'll release, and I'd like to release.
According to the Associated Press, Mr. Trump previously said in an interview that he does not believe he has an obligation to release his tax returns and won't release them before November unless an ongoing audit of his finances is completed before Election Day. Massachusetts police have some explaining to do. Helicopter video of a high-speed police pursuit into New Hampshire shows a driver stepping slowly out of his truck, kneeling, and putting his hands on the ground before several officers rush him and start pummeling him. Massachusetts State Police said they'll review whether it was appropriate force. Here's this morning's Mike Gavin.
The chase started yesterday when Richard Simone of Worcester, Massachusetts, refused to stop for local police in Holden. In a statement, police said the chase went through several towns at speeds exceeding 100 miles per hour, crashing at least once. Authorities say he was wanted on multiple warrants, including one for assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. The video shows the pickup truck stop on a dead-end street before police surround it with weapons drawn. The driver steps from the truck, gets onto the ground, and is on all fours when the officers set upon him, throwing punches. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. It's 9 minutes after the hour. Startling revelation about a deadly explosion at a fertilizer plant in Central Texas 3 years ago. Federal officials now say the fire that caused the blast, which killed 15 people and injured hundreds, was set on purpose. 12 of the 15 killed were firefighters or first responders. Officials said yesterday they're seeking the individual or people responsible for the blaze and offered a reward of up to $50,000. Robert Elder is with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives.
We have eliminated all reasonable accidental and natural causes. That includes smoking, spontaneous ignition, product storage, electrical, golf cart, and many others.
The incident nearly wiped the town of West Texas off the map back in April 2013. The explosion at the West Fertilizer Company leveled a warehouse that stored ammonium nitrate. It left a crater that was 90 feet wide and 12 feet deep, destroying or severely damaging more than 500 homes in the town of West, population 2,800, located between Dallas and Austin. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On this morning, America's First News.
Everyone knows that business is all about numbers. Consider the numbers the state of Michigan can offer your business, like being a top 10 pro-business state, or 2,000, the number of unnecessary regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years, and 6, Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climate, which all adds up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Here's to the innovators and job creators. Dell is proud to support small businesses everywhere with reliable, award-winning technology powered by Intel Core processors, created to give your business 4 times faster performance and cut downtime by 50%. During Small Business Month, enjoy 35% off select business PCs, plus always get free shipping and advice from Dell's dedicated experts. Visit Dell.com/radio to discover how we can help you do your best work. Intel inside, powerful solution outside.
Glad you could be with us, and a good Thursday to you. Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton may be on course to win the nomination, but she's still piling up the losses, most recently West Virginia on Tuesday. That was the 19th primary or caucus won by Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, her chief rival. Reporter Gabriel DiBenedetti at Politico says she's stuck in a quagmire. Gabriel, what have you looked at?
Well, you know, what we're looking at is Hillary Clinton is still highly likely to win the Democratic nomination. It'll be really difficult for Bernie Sanders to catch up to her, but the reality is that she's probably going to keep losing states. Some of the next few states look very friendly to Sanders, and it's kind of getting to some Clinton supporters. They don't want her to be losing this much this late in the process. They've got Kentucky and Oregon next week. Those are two states where Sanders is likely to be pretty strong. You know, he just won both Indiana and West Virginia. So we're looking at a situation where Clinton is likely to keep piling up losses, but not, you know, see her pledged delegate, which is what it all comes down to, her pledged delegate lead really get much smaller.
Jeez. This is like in the NFL. You're sitting on a nice, 8-3 record, and then you lose your final 4 games or something, but you're still back into the playoffs. Is that kind of what's happening here?
That's exactly right. I mean, she has not clinched, but it would be pretty impossible for pretty very It would be very difficult for her not to be the nominee at this point. And, you know, she's not exactly sitting her star players on the bench or anything like that. But, you know, this is a part of the calendar that was always going to be very friendly to Bernie Sanders. And it is being friendly to him. But the reality is that we're now seeing some people sort of say, well, it's not so good to not see her close this out. This is giving Trump a lot of ammunition. This is giving him a way to get to some of the voters that she's not able to appeal to right now.
All right. So this means what for her, though, in general? Because she's already started talking about Mr. Trump in the general election.
Right. Well, she can't spend as much time in swing states appealing to those voters who will really matter in November because she has to spend time in the primary states still. She can't fully turn her attention to Trump because she can't be seen to be slighting Sanders supporters. And, you know, it's a series of things like that. She doesn't want to be spending money on primary election battles, but unfortunately she still has to. And some of the most expensive in the country, like California, are still coming up. So what we're looking at is a situation where she is just forced into a prolonged battle. Again, very few people think that she's going to lose, but the very fact that she's forced to keep fighting is really bothering some of her backers.
Mm. We're speaking with Gabriel DiBenedetti, political reporter at Politico, and he's looking at Hillary Clinton and why she's still in this primary quagmire. So as you point out, you said after going dark on TV for several weeks, she is suddenly investing in television advertisements in Kentucky, and that she should not have had to have done that.
That's right. You know, we were looking at her basically going off the air altogether after her wins in Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, and Connecticut late in April. It looked like she was basically saying, well, no more spending on the primary for me. Let's just wrap this thing up. But now Kentucky, a state where it was going to, for a while, be a pretty solid win for her, it's now looking like that might be closer, and she's investing in ads there. And then Sanders re-upped his own advertising buy there after that news. So, you know, what we're looking at is a reinvestment. It's not extremely heavy. It's not as if she's going to suddenly be spending all of her time in Kentucky. But she's been there, and she's spending there. And that is certainly not something that she would be doing to the same extent, one believes, one would think, you know, if she had wrapped this thing up officially.
You know, I saw something several weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago, on all places, MSNBC, where an analyst there said forever the case has been that Hillary Clinton's poll numbers never go up. They peak early when there's the initial announcement of her candidacy for something, and they never go up after that. That's the peak. Is that
Is that at all at work here, or is that comparing apples and oranges? Or
there was something to that for a long time, and we have seen her numbers go up and down since then. There was some time when the reality was she is extremely well known, and people have a very baked in view of her. That was not the case with Sanders. What will be very interesting to see is, you know, we've got Donald Trump coming up. If you're looking from the perspective of the Clinton campaign, Trump is another person who is extremely well known. So those numbers are going to fluctuate, but people's views of Hillary Clinton aren't really changing all that much at this point.
Okay. So does Mr. Sanders then have any chance of claiming some of these superdelegates or swaying the opinion of the party elite, given the fact that, as you said before, she was kind of expected to lose these states she's losing now?
Sure. It's impossible to understand, to read the minds of some of these superdelegates, and there's still a bunch of states left, and there's still some superdelegates who haven't yet said which side that they come down on. And, you know, if Sanders is able to successfully say, look, I'm winning all these states, you should back me, then some of these people will come to him. But even if all of the remaining superdelegates who have not yet declared which side they're on go to him, he'd still be behind. So the reality is that he's going to have to try and convince a lot of the superdelegates who are so far siding with Hillary Clinton. That is going to be an extremely difficult case to make if he remains behind, as it seems he will, with the delegates.
It's reporter Gabriel DiBenedetti at Politico. It's 20 minutes now after the hour. On this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
President Donald Trump is being attacked by both Democrats and Republicans for saying he doesn't anticipate releasing any of his tax returns before the election. He told Fox News he's not hiding anything.
You don't learn anything. A tax return, you learn very, very little.
If Trump doesn't release his returns, that would make him the first major party nominee since President Gerald Ford in 1976. To not release even 1 year of his actual returns. Meanwhile, Trump is brushing off his Capitol Hill critics, declaring he doesn't need House Speaker Paul Ryan or other leery Republican leaders to endorse him, even as he prepares to sit down with them this morning. His defiant message comes amid new signs he might be right, with GOP voters becoming more willing to embrace him. Malaysia's confirmation today that debris found in South Africa and an island off Mauritius came from missing Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, bringing to five the number of parts that have been recovered from the aircraft that vanished 2 years ago, with 239 aboard. There are still no clues about what went wrong. Secretary of State John Kerry is reassuring European banks they won't be penalized for conducting or facilitating legitimate business with Iran. Kerry and British Foreign Secretary Philip Hammond are meeting today with key European bankers in London. Prosecutors in Los Angeles say they have evidence of five more killings carried out by the man known as the Grim Sleeper. Lonnie Franklin Jr. was convicted last week of killing 10 women in South Los Angeles, and today prosecutors say they'll be laying out their case for the death penalty. 60 Minutes has been on the air for 48 seasons, and CBS newsman Morley Safer has been on the show for all but two of them. But now the 84-year-old is retiring. CBS says it will mark Safer's departure with an hour-long special on Sunday night. And two British and one Mexican climber are the first foreigners to reach the summit of Mount Everest in 2 years. The three climbers and their three guides reached the 29,035-foot peak early today. Last year's season, of course, canceled after an avalanche triggered by a powerful earthquake killed 19 climbers at base camp.
Got it. And don't leave any graffiti, right?
Yes, I was here when you get there.
Yesterday's lesson from Jennifer. Thank you. 22 minutes now after the hour. On this morning, America's First News. Time now for a finance update, and it's brought to you by Lexington Hotels. At Lexington Inns and Hotels, our highest priority is providing you with exceptional service at a great rate. Visit LexingtonHotels.com. for reservations and locations. Here's the latest on how companies are trying to protect our personal information from hackers. To guard against the rising threat of identity theft, a growing number of companies are moving from a system that tests people on what they know, such as a password. Now, they want to see your selfie. More from Janelle Marte, personal finance writer at The Washington Post. Janelle, set this up.
There's been a huge surge in identity theft. And we're hearing more and more criminals are basically having a much easier time getting a hold of the information that would normally be used to verify your identity, like your social security number, your address, your income, you know, sensitive tax information. And so what that's doing for some companies is it's making them have to find another way, a more creative way to confirm people's identities. And what some people, what some of these companies are doing is they're turning to facial recognition. And this is happening for a number of reasons. First of all, we are more and more of us are using smartphones that have these pretty good cameras. And so it's become quite easy to ask people to go ahead and just take a photo, right, that would be matched against other records. But as we see more and more of this, you know, there are some concerns about, well, you know, first of all, it's a little weird, right, facial recognition, and there's concerns that, you know, we want to make sure that the companies are not misusing these photos for something else later on.
Wow. All right. So is it a definite that a selfie can't be copied? Like, what if some stranger took a picture of my face in a crowd I didn't even know?
Well, so there's certainly, you know, there's no guarantee, but what some of these companies are doing is they're saying, well, we're going to ask people to move so we can try to confirm that it's a person and not a photo of another photo that's going on. So, for example, you know, you might be asked to blink, and you might be asked to, you know, or they might just be looking for you, like, to move a little bit when you're positioning yourself in the right way. So, you know, that's one way, but you're right. I mean, some people are concerned that, you know, that because in this era of social media, our face is basically everywhere. So, yeah. You know, we're using a mode of authentication that, as one security expert said to me, is really inherently public.
Wow. All right. So who's doing it? Anybody that's adopted this right now?
Sure. So right now, USAA, that financial services company that works with a lot of military members and their families, for their mobile app, you now have the option of using facial recognition to sign on to the app. So essentially, when you open it up, you would choose the facial option and then raise the phone to your face. And here it would tell you, you know, when to blink. And then if it matches the photo you use when you sort of created this account, you're in. And you can check your account balance and you can, you know, do the normal things you would on your mobile app. So that's already out there. And they say that roughly 1 million customers are using some sort of biometric. So that could be the facial recognition, or they also are allowing people to use thumbprints and voice recognition.
Thanks, Janelle. It's Janelle Marte, personal finance writer at The Washington Post. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. There's a lot of talk today on retirement, how to save, and how to reach our goals. Well, now, thanks to Betterment, there's a new way that's changed the industry by making investing easier and at a lower cost. Betterment is the largest independent automated investing service, managing more than $4 billion for over 150,000 customers. The financial services industry has embraced technology and innovation through the creation of automated investing, meaning you keep more of your money with fees that are a fraction of what you pay with traditional financial services. Then the excess cash is automatically invested, so every dollar you invest is put to work. Your portfolio is automatically rebalanced. Betterment is a member of SIPC, which means your investments are protected. Bank-level security means your personal data is too. Betterment is the better way to secure your financial future. Make sure that you and your family are set up for success. Right now, get up to 6 months of no fees. Learn how when you go to betterment.com/deal. That's betterment.com/deal. Betterment, investing made better.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, May 12. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump and Ryan meet today. The FBI director smacks down Hillary Clinton's claim that the email investigation is just a, quote, security review. Says he doesn't even know what that means. From the bizarre file, George Zimmerman is auctioning off the gun he used to kill Trayvon Martin. Supreme Court nominee Merrick Garland has withheld info about his net worth on his paperwork. Whiny Justin Bieber says he's done taking pictures with fans. Because it makes him feel, he says, like a zoo animal. And the strange new workout involving church bells. That story in about 20 minutes. On a serious note now, the Wall Street Journal says the Islamic State terror attacks in Brussels, which killed 32 people and injured more than 300, could have been much worse. The Journal says new details have revealed that the carnage 2 months ago was lessened by luck, solid police work, and lack of leadership inside the terror cell. We're joined now live by Wall Street Journal reporter Valentina Popp in Brussels. Valentina, good morning. Explain what you guys looked at here.
Yes, hi, morning. What we're looking at is a series of interviews we've done with people familiar with the investigation, and also this week in Brussels, a parliamentary inquiry committee has started its work into the terror attacks. So what the image that's emerging is that the terror cell was a bit in disarray. The same terror cell believed responsible also for the Paris attacks in November. But what happened then is, apart from the suicide bombers, obviously, that the presumed ringleader, Abdelhamid Abaoud, was killed a few days after the attacks, and he's believed to have been responsible for plotting several terror attacks, and might have also had intended to have this follow-up attack in Brussels. So the cell that was then responsible was either remote controlled from Syria by Islamic State, or had older plans that they then sped up once the police really tracked them down and clamped down of some of its members.
One of the ways you said that this attack could have been worse was if a third bomber had actually set off his device. He did not.
That's correct. There were actually two more bombers, one in at the airport with a very large suitcase containing 20 kilograms of TATP. So it could have been another devastating attack, explosion. And this bomber left the suitcase and basically fled with the other people. And luckily, the bomb didn't go off, even though rescuers were at the site and taking care of the victims and evacuating the place. So for about almost 4 hours, the bomb was undetected until the bomb squad came and detonated it safely, so nobody was injured. And then another attacker in the subway, because apart from the airport, there was an attack on the subway. Mm-hmm. The suicide bomber on a subway was accompanied by another man sporting a similar backpack, who then didn't get on the metro and left. And he was later captured. He admitted partly his responsibility and claimed that he flushed the explosives down the toilet.
Okay.
So two other bombers that could have stricken. And then also at the safe house where they had prepared for the attack, they found huge amounts of explosives still. So they were clearly preparing even more.
All right, boy. And the one of the bombs that did go off, I think you said, was in a suitcase. But in a rush, the suitcase fell off the cart and kind of blew up straight up in the air instead of
that's
passengers.
Second attacker.
Yeah,
that's correct. So the second attacker at the airport, after the first bomb went off, rushed towards a crowd of people who were screaming and running away and detonated the bomb there. But in the rush, his suitcase fell off his cart, and then instead of projecting the shrapnel and nails towards the people like the first one did, the explosives, the load went straight up.
Wow.
And basically hit fewer, still hit some people, but fewer, and this is how the ceiling came down, because the ceiling at the airport just in front of the Starbucks coffee shop fell on the floor, and that's why. All elements that came out this week and are in our story.
We're live this morning with Wall Street Journal reporter Valentina Popp in Brussels. You said in the story, too, Islamic State has learned lessons from what went wrong. Explain that briefly as we wrap up here.
The attacks were also supposed to be in Brussels, were also supposed to be accompanied by a gun spree, but that didn't take place because police found a cache of weapons and managed to kill one of the attackers a week before the attacks. And what we've seen in Paris is that firing assault rifles in restaurants or clubs is, from Islamic State point of view, the most effective way of getting as many victims as possible. And we have information that they are considering more of these soft targets rather than focusing on suicide bombers who sometimes their vests don't detonate like some of the Paris attackers did. And
soft targets, I guess, I don't know, easier to manage, I guess, with just assault weapons rather than relying on perhaps complicated bombs. Valentina, thanks for a few minutes. Wall Street Journal reporter Valentina Pop live this morning from Brussels. It's 19 minutes now before the hour. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, here's a case of where good customer service could have been the difference between life and death. UPI reports that workers at an Oregon Domino's location helped save the life of a regular customer after they noticed a significant gap in his order history. Kirk Alexander is well known for his daily orders among employees at the Domino's Pizza Shop in Salem, but employees became concerned after noticing that he hadn't placed an order in several days. The managers of the store sent one of their delivery drivers to Alexander's home to check up on him after a call to his cell phone went straight to voicemail. The driver noticed the lights in Alexander's home were on, but he was not answering the door. The driver then called 911, and when police arrived, they found that Alexander required immediate medical attention and took him to the hospital. While we don't know the full details of Alexander's illness, we do know that he's now in stable condition and has been receiving visits from various Domino's employees.
Holy cow.
How about that?
Okay, I want to know who the manager is and who did the training of these people.
Yeah,
because these
yeah.
are some exceptional human beings.
Yeah.
what follow through too?
Right.
Right. Somebody at the store recognizes it. They dispatch a driver. The driver does his own follow-up, right? Calling 911, that's impressive.
Yeah, good job all around.
That is impressive.
For sure. Maybe he'll be laying off the pizza, though, maybe for a little while. We'll see.
Yeah.
Don't exactly know what the illness was,
but
we'll see. And you might remember, Gordon, that back in February, we told you that the folks who put together the NBA 2K video game franchise were having a tough time doing justice to the remarkable shooting prowess of now two-time MVP Steph Curry. The problem being that Curry's penchant for heaving up shots off the dribble just over the half-court line with defenders up in his face and then making them goes against the game's programming to discourage such shots from going in. Now gamers will get a chance to take control of a super version of Curry, albeit for a limited time. According to Under Armour, for 30 hours only starting tonight, Curry's overall in-game rating will rise from 95 to 99, making him the greatest shooter in the history of the game. So finally, video game Steph might be able to hold a candle to real-life Steph.
Wow. So this is the one chance I might have to beat my son, say, in NBA 2K. Just give me Curry.
Yes.
And he just shoots it every time.
Just heave him from anywhere.
He has to inbound the ball to himself.
Right.
Dribble up the court, shoot.
Yeah. Take nothing to chance.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Mailing your letters and packages has just gotten a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, using just your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office, and it's so easy. Anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. With Stamps.com, buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com does all the work for you. They even give you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail. And setup is easy, too. In minutes, you'll be printing your very own postage. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com and enter the code Deal.
Thanks for being with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by Harry's. Stop compromising on your shave and get started with Harry's. For far too long, you've either paid too much for a comfortable shave or you've settled for a low-priced but low-quality razor. Harry's offers something you've never had before. Great shave at a fair price. It's simple. Good price, Good shave, the best of both with Harry's. Harry's makes just one razor with all you need for a close, comfortable shave. Five German-crafted blades, a flex hinge, and lubricating strip. Quality guaranteed. Full refund if you're not happy. I'm a Harry's user. The Harry's starter set is a great option for new customers and an amazing deal. For just $15 with this starter set, you get a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, and three of Harry's razors. Plus, there's a special offer for fans of the show. You get $5 off your first purchase with Harry's if you use the promo code DEAL. Go to harrys.com and look for the Truman set, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com, harrys.com. Enter the code DEAL at checkout to get $5 off. Stop compromising and give Harry's a try today. 8 minutes before the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, after debating for 20 hours throughout the night, Brazil's Senate voted early today to impeach President Dilma Rousseff. She will be tried by the Senate and is automatically suspended from office. A two-thirds vote by the Senate would convict Rousseff and permanently remove her from as the country's president. The turmoil comes just months ahead of a global showcase, the Summer Olympics. 3 years after a fertilizer plant blew up in central Texas, killing 15 people. Federal officials say the fire that caused the blast had been set on purpose. ATF Special Agent Robert Alder.
The fire has been ruled as incendiary. This means this fire was a criminal act.
Elder says investigators ruled out all reasonable, accidental, and natural causes. The explosion injured hundreds and nearly wiped the tiny community of West off the map. A judge has ruled that a man who acknowledged killing three people at a Colorado Planned Parenthood clinic is mentally incompetent to continue with his criminal case. The decision puts the case against 57-year-old Robert Deere on hold until treatment restores his ability to understand the proceedings and assist in his defense. The internet has become the focus of investigators looking into Prince's death. Authorities are looking through computer drives taken from Prince's home, trying to see if there's any evidence he may have had an online drug supplier. New transparency about workplace injuries and illnesses. A federal regulation will now reveal publicly injuries and illnesses employers have typically logged for their private use, triggering a clash with business groups that say the data could be misconstrued and exploited by unions and plaintiffs' lawyers. An estimated 3 million workers get injured or ill on the job each year. And here's another one of those wacky Guinness World Records, this one involving pizza. To celebrate its new site in Tanzania, a team of Pizza Hut employees embarked on a multi-day ascent last week to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro, carrying a pepperoni pizza. At the top, the slices were passed around and consumed. Their trek puts them in the record book for the highest altitude pizza delivery.
All right. Does the altitude impact the pepperoni taste, you think?
Well, you'd have to dial them up and find that out.
It'll be a real problem for me. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. With an ongoing slide in church attendance in England, there's a shortage of people available to ring the enormous church bells. One way officials are looking to bring in a new generation, promote bell ringing as exercise. The Wall Street Journal says church bells, after all, weigh hundreds or even thousands of pounds and take effort to move. Elva Ainsworth, who's 53, says she fainted while ringing peals at London's St. Martin in the Fields for the 1981 engagement of Lady Diana and Prince Charles. Ringing at St. Paul's Cathedral in London, equally demanding, a peal or series of bell strikes involves 5,000 ringing combinations lasting 4.5 hours. A charity called the Church's Conservation Trust is promoting the fitness benefits of ringing. The website bellringing.org says it offers improved agility, coordination, reaction time and balance, plus improved muscle endurance and cardiovascular fitness. Go ring your bell. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.